In Iraq, increased violence has marked this first weekend following agreement on a new national government. Today, five Iraqi policemen were shot dead at a checkpoint, and at least two car bombs exploded in Baghdad. More than 70 people have died in attacks during the past 3 days. With the insurgency intensifying, there's an impression that violence pervades all of Iraq, but there are areas of calm where U.S. forces are trying to cultivate a new generation of Iraqi leaders. This, however, presents its own problems with stark contrasts to the turbulent situation in Baghdad. NPR's Philip Reeves reports.
The barrage began Friday, one day after the Prime Minister, Ibrahim al-Jafri, presented his cabinet to Parliament. Seven posts were still undecided. The key issue of representation for the Sunni minority hadn't been settled. This was the scene after a car bomb exploded outside the Iraqi Council for National Dialogue in Baghdad, a political body hoping to bring Sunnis into the new transitional government. The sound was recorded by a member of NPR's Iraqi staff. Two years after the fall of Saddam Hussein, the Iraqi capital is still profoundly unstable. Here, and in much of the Sunni triangle, people are dying every day. But not everywhere. Hammam al-Alil, a Sunni town south of Mosul. 6 months ago, the place was in chaos. The Iraqi police force had fled, so had the Iraqi National Guard. U.S. Army Lieutenant Nick Trotter is an intelligence officer working with Charlie Company 1-5. It's set up in town just after the trouble started.
Hammam al-Alil in November was a lot of things we had yet to figure out, particularly the tribal system. We did not have a go-to leader, a strong mayor, sheikh or mukhtar that we could turn to for help and support.
Now there is a mayor. He's a former general in Saddam Hussein's army and a Ba'athist.
The mayor is well-connected and he knows who the power brokers are in our area of operation, particularly Hammam al-Alil, because he's so well-respected within the tribe. As far as being a Ba'athist, you know, there's a heavy Ba'athist contingency in our AO, and so again, he knows who's who and who to turn to for answers and problem-solving.
Hey, first of all, I brought you a docking station for your Thuraya phone.
These days, the conversation focuses on reconstruction and on U.S. dollars to pay for it. Major Tim Vidra is from one of the U.S. military's civil affairs units.
Within the last couple of months, we have begun the renovation of a new Iraqi army battalion base. We're getting a new police station built. We're getting some existing police stations renovated. We're in the process of trying to build a fire station. You know, basic instruments of civil government.
The meeting's also attended by a local mukhtar and a police chief from a neighboring town. Once seen as a haven for insurgent leaders operating in Mosul, the area's moved away from violence to the rebuilding stage. But this, too, has its complications. Vidra's willing to renovate the police chief's station, and the chief's come up with three estimates. These are for around $400,000. Yes, five zeros. When Vidra confronts him, he changes his mind at once.
The estimate that I'm looking for is around, $40,000 for renovation, not $200,000. Yeah, their impression of America is that it's a giant coffer of money that we can just spend whatever we want to. Price is no object. A perfect example of that is that whenever we ask for estimates to complete jobs, oftentimes they are, orders of magnitude. Their estimates are orders of magnitude higher than what they should be.
The mukhtar is also expecting something in return for his cooperation. Two of his sons have been detained by the Iraqi security forces. He wants them released and doesn't buy the Americans' argument that they have no say in the matter.
The Iraqi army has custody of your sons now. And
for Vidra, such complications are part of doing business.
For example, the guy, the local leader who came to us saying that his two sons were detained, I would be working much more hard to get the sons released if they were the sons of, say, the mayor. It depends on where you want to have the most influence.
What about the risk that money handed to Iraqi leaders is finding its way to the insurgents? Lieutenant Trotter.
That's something we're dealing with now. It's a problem we face every day. It's difficult to ensure and to control that money, because once we hand it over, it's kind of out there, and it's hard for us to track outright.
Trotter says the U.S. military does what it can to prevent this.
The key is to scrutinize the contractors, go to the right people that you trust somewhat, and have them give you feedback. You know, as far as Western Convention, if they're skimming some money off the top, you know, it's for the local leadership. You know, that is their system. That is we're not going to interfere with that, because that's how they get things done.
It's far from idyllic, but says Trotter, the place is moving forward.
Oh, I mean, it's what we're doing is historically unprecedented. It's a lot of work, and it's tiring. But I tell you what, see, the changes and the progresses that we've made in Hammam alone has made me believe that this is, you know, we're doing the right thing here.
Hammam al-Alil now has a couple of hundred policemen, and it has calm. By Baghdad standards, that's progress. Philip Reeves, NPR News, Baghdad.